Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us here. What we're looking at really is that we are looking at new ways that people are going about stopping us getting onto the countryside. What I'm just going to do is run through who the disabled ramblers are and what it is that we're having problems with. Disabled ramblers really are people who are sitting in the audience now once you find that you can't actually get out into the countryside on your own two legs. It's going to come to you, folks. So you might want to think about what it might mean in the future for you. Yeah. And for some, it already has. Unfortunately, my colleague Arthur here uses a tramper. You'll see one sat outside. If anyone fancies a go on one at lunchtime, please let me know. So we're ordinary people, just less mobile. And we ramble for the same reason as you guys do. And a big, big part of it is just getting people out of the house from in front of the telly. They're stuck in there because they can't easily get out and about. And when they do get out, they really, really enjoy a challenge. And that sense of achievement of getting somewhere where they thought they'd never, ever get again. My wife's a disabled one, and we live in Worcester near the Malverns. And when we got up onto the Malvern Ridge for the first time in her scooter, it was for the first time in 10 years, and she just wonderful, sense of achievement of getting there back where she used to enjoy going. We go all over England and Wales. I have the wonderful job of organising the ramble, so I get out and about all over the country finding them for the disabled ramblers. And we ramble all year round, although most of it is in the summer. And we categorise them depending on the type of surface and what sort of scooters needed and the challenges. So category one could be done in manual wheelchairs. Category four, invitation only, you might not get there. We'll get you back, but you might not get there in the first place. But we do about 30 rambles a year all over England and Wales. And we have 20 or 30 people going out on each ramble, plus able-bodied people. You can see us there. Anyone recognise where we are? Bolton Abbey in Yorkshire Dales. So a good group of people there. We started with a guy who was a keen walker, keen hill climber. He had an unusual illness, or still has. It's called Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease. It's a degenerative illness, and he got to the point where he couldn't walk anymore. He wanted to, so he got the apprentices at BAE to build this rickshaw, and they, in relays, teams of six, carried him along the old rutted ridgeway in Oxfordshire and Wiltshire and so on. And then we got Robin Helby, some of you may have heard of. He is an incredible, innovative guy and loves finding solutions. And one of the major barriers to disabled people in particular getting out into the countryside is the lack of toilet facilities. It's not easy to go behind the hedge when you can't get off your scooter. So we worked on this, he worked on this, and you'll see the solution in a moment. But they found that way back, the Thames footpath had just been built, opened, great acclaim. And so they said, right, let's go and do the Thames footpath. And they did 62 miles over 5 days. And, of course, they knew already that it wasn't going to be possible without some innovative solution, because this new footpath was littered with barriers, with stiles. So Robin there in the middle had this bridge built so the scooters could get up and over the stiles. And you heard him mention the tramper. That's the forerunner of the tramper. Robin's taken an ordinary scooter and put bigger wheels on it and so on. So he actually helped develop the tramper as well. So there's a way of getting over barriers. We don't tend to see that so often because we just try and find routes that are more friendly than that. But the tramper, say, it's a big machine, it's sat out there, but it does get over obstacles very well. It goes through water to 8 inches, and the only restriction after that is you're going to get your feet wet. And then it'll go over bumps of 6 inches or more. Made in Southampton, and it's just a fantastic machine. But there's others like it. But we also found that a lot of people can't afford their own machine. So we've got seven of our own that we hire out to people to try out for themselves, and we carry them in this four of them in this box trailer, which doubles up as an accessible toilet, fully accessible toilet once the trampers are out. And so at the start and end of a ramble, people have got the facilities that they need to be comfortable. And that's been copied by Lancashire. How much longer that will be going for, I don't know. We just big cutbacks are happening, and so they're losing the facilities. But they've got 13 trampers up in Lancashire. And when we're out on the ramble, we take our toilet with us. This is a fully accessible private toilet. People can transfer from their scooter across to the toilet. So it takes a matter of minutes to set up anywhere in the countryside. And when it's fully taken apart, it becomes a trailer, which is pulled by a tramper, and doubles as a rescue trailer. So we don't need Land Rover backup or anything like that. Should anything go wrong, we can generally get ourselves out of it. So that's what we try and do. So why don't we just go anywhere? What's our main barrier to accessing the countryside, folks? Yeah, that's certainly a big barrier. All those are big barriers. I would contend that people's perceptions is the biggest barrier. Why do I think that? Yeah. What it is that people I've talked to today already, hadn't thought about how it might be possible for the less able to access the countryside. So when you're thinking about barriers, you think, well, they can't get there anyway, so let's just do a cheap solution. And so you're putting in a new gate, a new narrow barrier, and that's it for 25 years. That route's now blocked off for us. But let's have a look. This is the sort of thing the tramper can do. That to me says it all. Wow, well done. To us, that was nothing. But to him, he had no idea that that sort of thing was possible. Doesn't she look smug? That's my dear wife. Unfortunately, she's blind now as well, but we still enjoy the countryside. But even the tramper has its limitations. Now, I found this picture in a rights of way improvement plan that was sent to us for comment. They were very proud of this new bridge. They put it on the front of their ROIT plan. Is that really the only solution they could have come up with? The bridge is fine. We could have got across the bridge. But even people with sticks, people who are walking normally, would find that difficult. This was a wonderful example of an old bridge, opportunity to replace it. I brought it up with the council that it was unsafe, and they immediately decided to put a new one in. But they weren't able to remove the stile at the end of it because the landowner, the farmer, was opposed to any change. So it's still inaccessible. And it's still got a step on the end, but that's a minor thing. The gate there is the one perhaps that you would normally put up. If you're putting up a gate, is that the sort of thing you would put in? Yeah? Even a pushchair can't get through that very easily. Quite often they have to take the kid out of the pushchair, fold the pushchair up and get it through and all that sort of thing. So if you're going to put in a kitchen gate, please think about using one with a radar lock on it. You're all familiar with this sort of gate? Yeah, I hope so. So not everyone understands how they work, though, and what the effect's going to be. So we've got this gate was put right at the edge of the River Severn. So as you go through it on the scooter, you can see that it's hard to tell, but that brown stuff, it drops straight down to the River Severn, as you can see more clearly there. So, it's again education, understanding what it is that these gates are intended for. Brought it up with the council and they put a bit of a barrier up to make you feel safe anyway. I'm sure if I took the tramper at full tilt at that, we might go through it. But, it's a good good effort. And the farmer didn't understand how the gate worked. So this gate was put in nice and new and shiny. And then he goes and puts an irrigation pipe across it. Again, education. Told him about it and he buried it. Not a problem anymore. Bit hard to make this photograph out, but it's those last barrier gates were, there were six in a row at the start of a ramble. We got this old gate that wasn't replaced. Most of the time the farmer's gate is open as it is there, but when it's locked, when it's closed, then they had to get through there. And you can see it, that's as far open as it would go, only a person width to squeeze through. And they did replace it, but only after somebody, and it wasn't me, honest, completely vandalised the old gate. So they ripped the old gate apart so much that it had to be replaced. Hats off to them for doing it. Horse tiles. I bet even the VHS don't like horse tiles very much. But, okay, they're there. All right, as long as you've got a bypass, we can cope with it as long as there's a bypass, which there is at the side of this one in the Cotswold Water Park on the approach to Cirencester. But this old one here had got a bypass gate with a radar lock on it, and then someone's gone and put a chain and padlock on it. So no longer. I was exploring for a route. I thought, this is great. I'd gone from one car park at the visitor centre to another one, and I couldn't get out of it onto the car park because of this. These are the big ones at the moment. Motorbike inhibitors. There's different types, and this council, this is on the Welsh coastal footpath. This council did make a reasonable adjustment. They only had to widen it by a few millimetres and then we could get the scooter through. But the adjoining council refused flatly to make any adjustment at all. And so we're in the process of working with the Welsh authorities to try and get that changed. But it is a big problem, these barriers. If you're going to put anything in at all, think about how the disabled person's going to open it if they're on their own. This is a gate opening that can be used, and there are other types that Centrewire make, can be used. Two-way self-opening, not self-opening, self-closing gates are ideal. So if you're going to put any sort of barrier in, two-way self-closing, preferably a bridle gate, it's good width, but one that, do think about one that could be opened. How's it going to be opened from a wheelchair, from a scooter? Do they have to have someone out there with them to do it for them? As some of you know, we took part in the Bridle Gate trials recently. So this is part of our work we do, as well as taking our own members out to be trying to improve the lot of everybody that uses the countryside. And hopefully we'll be seeing the results of that trickle through, although it was interesting to see the feedback from one horse rider user that said, any of these gates is much better than what I normally face on an ordinary ride. So we get off campaigning and training. This is Crickley Hill in the Cotswolds, and we had a great session, a day out there with local rangers, LAF members, wardens, all that sort of group of people. And there was great reluctance initially for them to try out the trampers. Once they got on them and had a go, couldn't get them off it. So it's, again, trying to get people educated. And if any of your groups would like us to come along, then get in touch with us. The sense of achievement is amazing once you get out. Sorton Tor on Dartmoor, some of you will know what Dartmoor is like, I'm sure most of you do, and it's not an easy terrain, but we managed to do 7 rambles last year on Dartmoor, all around the area, and the members just loved it. Really rough and rugged paths, but it was great sense of achievement. Let's see if we can get this one working. Thank you. And Jim always looks miserable. That was Hamsterley Forest. Snowdonia. 2,500 feet. This is the first peak on the Carnaddy. And it took nearly 2,000 feet of climbing, which is an amazing achievement, not only for the people, but for the trampers. That's a TGA super sport there. And that's the successful group. A lot of support from the rangers, but you know, it's the people themselves that did it. They got up there, and well done to them. You know Mastars Lane up in Yorkshire Dales? Really good route, lovely area to be in. Nice and easy to come down, apart from being rocky, but we can get up it as well. Took a little bit longer, that's all. An excellent area to go rambling in. We like nice easy rams as well. This is approaching the Ridgeway. This is a place called Old Street, an ancient path. On the Malverns, we've got a big thing going on in the Malverns. Well, big thing on and off. They want to put a cable car up the Malverns. Anyone fancy a cable car up there at Malverns? According to the people who want to do it, it's the right of the disabled to be able to get up the Malverns, so we must have a cable car. So we went out and said, no, you don't. We can get up there anyway. Only a bit of water, but they do love it. It's great fun. Listen to the motor on this, if you can hear it. We make sure the rambles, we're not going checking them out, make sure the rambles are within the capability of the walkers. The walkers will run out of power before the scooters. You know, we have walkers with us all the time, and they tend to be of the similar sort of age and ability, if you like, and they're 5 to 8 miles long, the rambles. So measuring the ability of the tramper is difficult. They'll do 30 miles on flat, smooth tarmac indoors, because that's how they test them, so they can compare across companies. In the outdoors, we'll do 12, 15 miles, something like that. So yeah, we make sure when we test them out, the rambles out, that we do it on a tramper, make sure the tramper is going to, or whatever scooter is going to cope with it. It's limestone pavement, long scar in the Dales. Another wonderful challenge that they really enjoyed overcoming. It's a long climb up there. Well, that's where you heard the previous one, the guy going up. Oh yeah. Liz is very cautious. Ollie just put it in fast and gone bombing up there, but it's her tramper. She's looking after it. And that's at the start of the Watkin Path on Snowdon, and so's that. So we managed to get over the first of those rocky areas, rocky bumps, to be on the gate there. But you know, we don't want paths tarmacking over. We don't want anything doing other than man-made barriers removing, please. And that will give us access to so much more countryside and allow you know, one of the underrepresented user groups to access more of the countryside. So thank you very much. Any questions? Gosh, where do we start?
Hi, I'm Bobby Martillo. I'm chairman of Worcestershire.
Ah, hello, Bobby. I'm good.
Am I interviewing you?
Yeah.
First? Okay. how do you stand on shared use? Because I can think of a few paths in Worcestershire that are designated for disabled only. And as a rider representative, we've had some resistance with opening up another path because it's used by disabled people. So where do you stand on
Apparently, we're supposed to be recording your questions and answers. Where do disabled ramblers stand on shared use? It's not a question I've heard before. It's not a problem. We're happy to share paths with anyone. It would be nice if everyone could respect every other person's right to use the path or not use it. So, you know, I'm sure you realise and appreciate that horses can cut up paths, so if they're on a path where they're not supposed to be and cut it up, then that's not so good. If they're on a path where they are meant to be and they cut it up, well, we just put up with it. So it's not a problem. Where have we got paths that are designated disabled only?
There's one on Morven Hills that goes up from Black, what's it called?
Senior Short. Oh, okay, so short. There's an alternative though, is there?
And it worried me when I walked it because I thought people take the obvious path, which is signed for disabled only.
Yeah.
And the other path that riders are supposed to use isn't all that apparent.
No, okay, it's a tarmac path, a section you're talking about. Why it's like that, I don't know. I'm on the user group there, so I'll ask the question.
Most of the paths around Marlborough Hills are ideally suited to the tramper.
Yeah.
Consolidated stone. And even some of those off those routes are still capable of the track.
I think you were next.
Thank you. As a retired farmer, I've got a lot more experience of ATVs, and I'm surprised to see that your vehicle, your tramper there, has such narrow wheels. Is there a particular reason for that?
I'm not technical on that. Experiments were done and found that narrow wheels cope better with the conditions we go through than wide ones. I think if you were just going through mud, maybe a wide wheel would work, but in general conditions, these are the ones. But also, a wide wheel would cause a compromise with the space we've got. You know, you want to be narrow to get through gateways. So it's a compromise there. That's the, you know, basically you're looking at the battery box in the middle of that. Yeah.
The trampers of a width that it will go, bit of a squeeze through a standard doorway, it will certainly go through a pedestrian gate. Yeah. And that's the way it's been designed. If you widen the wheels, you then put in your own restrictions.
Okay. At the front.
I've got a dear old chap on my lap who is an ardent fan of the Ramblers Association and raises money to replace stiles with kissing gates. And he's proud of the fact that he's replaced about 10 kissing gates over the last few years, 10 styles with kissing gates, none of which have the radar lock on.
Yeah.
And I've banged on about this for years, and I've got the problem with perception.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks he's wonderful. What I would love, and I've tried for a few years, to attract somebody onto my lap who is disabled. So if you've got any ideas of where I might go to attract people.
Which laugh is it?
Bracknell Forest.
I'm not sure we've got any members. It's not just having members, it's members who are willing to go onto a laugh as well. I mean, again, there's a limit to how much Arthur and I can do, but you know, if coming down to your guys and talking to them, that's the next 5 years used up, I think. sorry, who was next?
Can you clarify the legal status of footpaths and people with mobility scooters?
I'm not a legal expert. I know it's a contentious problem. Until someone gets prosecuted for using a mobility scooter on a footpath, we just get on and do it. No, I've got plenty of...
It wasn't from that perspective. Oh.
I see, sorry. We haven't got the funds to do that. We can't just, you know, the chances of losing and well, we don't know where to start. it would be great if we could tie up with the Ramblers, who might then take action on our part to do that.
I think it's a right to use foot parts under one of the Disability Acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Category 3, yes. Scooter, you're perfectly legal to go for
that. Yeah.
The Disabled Ramblers policy is we don't want every path usable. We are sensible enough to know that some paths are not suitable. All we're asking is not to have them tarmac, just to remove man-made barriers, whether that be a stile or steps. And yeah. We'll assess the route out after we can go.
Yeah, but as you say at the back there, we're having trouble. I mean, I get problems like this flagged up to us, where a chap on a mobility scooter wants to get through a gap, and the council are refusing, and all we can do is say, okay, wave the Disability Act at them and keep hammering on. That A-frame barrier that I showed you was brought to our attention by someone outside of our group, but we are. He spent 2 years banging his head against the brick wall with the council and with it's in Wales and with the National Assembly, everyone that you can think of, and still they're refusing to do anything. We think we've got hope. We get it cracked. We saw some people from what's it called?
National Resource Wales.
Yeah, who have paid to have that barrier put in because it's on the coastal footpath, and they're saying, hang on, they're not allowed to do that, they'll have to remove it. So I'm hoping that that might actually happen soon. Yeah. Yes, you? Yeah?
Sorry, yeah, no, just picking up on that point, stiles to gates, we've got quite a substantial programme of replacing stiles with gates in Hampshire, promoted by the County Council, but the Ramblers are doing a lot of the work, and the thought is to put in the gate with the radar lock, but it's actually the landowner who will ultimately own that, the list in most cases, and some landowners will not.
Yeah.
On the basis that they don't understand, or that they feel you might get left open, the hoop is too big for their cattle, all sorts of spurious arguments you get, some of which you can overcome, but some landowners are very intransigent, so it's not always the local authority that you need to
talk
to, it's the
landowner. I appreciate that, yeah.
Round Bristol, you find that people moan about motorcycles all the time.
Yep. That's what they're there for. One, Robin Helby, that innovative guy, he was a motorcycle racing instructor, and he tells me that he could have got through any of these A-frames.
Yes.
So what's the point? However, the authorities see them as a barrier to motorbikes, so they'll continue to put them up. The provision of places for motorcyclists to go, sorry, it ain't my problem.
most times the A-frame is quite often a gate beside it. Now, that's a solution. If you put on the chain that's locking that gate a radar lock, even if it's in series with something else, that provides a fairly easy, simple solution for anybody on a mobility scooter to unlock the radar lock and go through.
Yes, sir. One in four. Yes, sir.
One or two points picking up from what you said. You've dealt with people with serious physical disabilities. You haven't come to the people who just get tired. Had you considered helping people with disabilities where they just want a resting place? Two fence posts and a fence bar, just to rest a while and they can go on. This would be one help for people with a disability. What about blind people, particularly in that particular instance you showed next to the River Severn? There's nothing to stop them, as far as I know, just going over the edge. Are you thinking of bars for this? Deaf people, my wife is totally deaf in one ear. She can't hear which direction a vehicle is coming from. I don't know what you can do about that, but And then the final point, and this is linking with the farmer here, because I own land as well. Under the single basic payment system, farmers have to keep open public rights of way. Now, everybody assumes this is for people walking along. But you know, if the status of this sort of vehicle is clear, it may be that farmers themselves have to for these to go through. I don't know. It might be worth inquiring.
Cool, where do we start? I've forgotten what your first question was. I say my wife's blind, and we do have, well, obviously her, but also another lady, a friend of Arthur's, who's blind and comes along with us. I mean, there's a limit to what a small charity can do, so we work to improve the lot of people with lack of walking ability, if you like. And hopefully spawning from that, it makes it easier for other users, particularly pushchairs and so on. We're happy for people with sight problems to come out with us, and they can hold the arm of a scooter and go along and be guided by that. Until my wife's after one of those, by the way, and a guide dog. And people with hearing problems, I mean, yes, I mean, we had a chap killed not long ago because a car user was on a lane that shouldn't have been on, and expected this person to get out of the way, and they didn't. So I don't know the solution to that, as you do. What was the first thing you said? Oh, resting places. Well, fine. I mean, absolutely. That's something down to perhaps you guys advising your authorities to provide, not something that's a problem to us in a way, because if one of our walkers gets tired, well, we generally have a spare scooter with us and people can swap over, and so people can walk for some of the route and ride for the rest of it. So we have that ability to give people a rest. Anyone else?
It's
more the dogs, isn't it? Generally, is the problem. We haven't had any incident where we've been attacked by livestock. My wife wouldn't go near a field that's got livestock in it, personally, which is a great shame. But I mean, have you come across a problem, Arthur?
No, not. I think part of it. Cattle are inquisitive, and bulls are sometimes, you have to be more fearful of cows with young calves. But they're just inquisitive. They will, if you confident and wave your arms, they will invariably go away. The noise of a tramper motor might be enough of a distraction for them not to come too close.
Could I just add to that tale quickly? I got taken out by a cow on the West Highland Way, and then I had to use a tramper. They are absolutely brilliant for when my leg was healing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's what most people who are wary to use them find.
Thank you. Anyone else?
You want your website address?
Just put in Disabled Ramblers and you'll find it, but it's disabledramblers.co.uk. We're a registered charity, so we're a company, but we're a charity. And we're all volunteers in it, by the way. If anyone wants to join us for a walk, you'll find a great welcome. Come along and walk alongside us. Thank you.
Sometimes you need somebody with a bit of muscle to push us out. We're quite happy to talk to you as well.
Okay, thank you.